Hey friend, welcome to the Mamahood After Trauma podcast. I'm your host, Emily Cleghorn. This podcast is for mamas navigating childhood trauma while also walking through mamahood. Together, we will empower each other to connect with who we were created to be versus who we were told to be in our trauma. I'm so excited that you've decided to take some time out of your day to join me and tune in. I hope you find this podcast uplifting and empowering. Let's get to it. Hello, hello, friends, and welcome to this episode of the Mamahood After Trauma podcast. I'm so excited that you've taken some time out of your day to join me. Today, I'm excited to have a conversation with Nina Group. Welcome, Nina.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Yeah, it's exciting to finally be having this conversation. It's one that's been in the works for a while. So
sometimes life gives us obstacles.
Oh, does it ever? So let's just dive right in. Why don't you share a little bit of your story, how you came to be working in this space with our listeners?
Sure. So about close to 8 years ago, I got divorced. I had a long 25-year marriage that was emotionally abusive. And the person I lived with was also an alcoholic. And so it took me some years to kind of recover from that, I would say. And then just a few years ago, during the pandemic, I wrote a book. And in that process, I really processed a lot of the experiences that I had had kind of after they had healed, I guess. But writing through them was really helpful and helped me to realize how I had gone so much of my life without really listening to my own heart. Like, I cared about other people and meeting their needs, and I didn't so much care about myself and meeting my needs. And so I think in the process of writing that book and then some other things, it just, you know, kind of at the right time, I connected with somebody who I went to grade school with, and she's a life coach. And that sort of set me on this journey of wanting to do that myself. And she was a huge help with that. So,
yeah, I think it is so interesting how for many trauma survivors, we have been taught or picked up somewhere along the line that we need to care about other people and make sure that they're cared for and happy. And through that, we learn a habit of self-neglect, and we don't know how to listen to what our heart or gut is telling us.
Yeah. Yes. And it makes life really confusing when mm-hmm. you, I think a lot of that has to do with the fact that, or this is what it was for me, you know, I couldn't believe that what was happening to me was happening to me. Mm-hmm. And so I had to completely divorce myself from the reality that I was living in, kind of. And so I couldn't possibly listen to all of the pain that I was feeling, because I would have stopped functioning. And mm-hmm. so I just put all of that aside and mm-hmm. was like, I will focus on, you know, I have four sons, and it's like, I will focus on them. And this is all that matters. And I just don't matter. And I mean, I don't think I ever actually thought that cognitively, like, I don't matter, but that is how I behaved. And I think I behaved that way because I couldn't cope with the hugeness of my feelings. And so I pretended to not have them.
Yeah, I think what you're saying right now is something that so many trauma survivors, so many trauma surviving mamas in particular, can yeah. resonate with.
Yeah.
So what was your journey to, I don't want to use the word correcting, but shifting that behavior?
I honestly think it had, for me, it had a lot to do with, I think there's a few aspects to it. Mm-hmm. So when I got, I don't even think I was divorced yet. And my older boys were like late teens, maybe my oldest was like 20. And they came to me and said, you know, mom, if you want to, like, you should date. And I think I just laughed at them. I mean, not cruelly, it was very sweet of them to, you know, offer this permission or whatever to me. But I could not think of anything I wanted to do less than that. Mm-hmm. And I really just needed, like, I think honestly, that was the beginning, like not getting trapped in distraction. And just, I realized in that moment, like, I don't need to meet somebody, like, I need to meet myself, because mm-hmm. I've been so wrapped up in this other person's feelings and all of his like needs for so long. And I don't want to get wrapped up with somebody else. I just want to like take care of you guys, and I want to take care of me. And the taking care of me came very slowly. And I would say, oddly enough, so like 4 years later, I did start dating. And I think that process of dating somehow is tied into all of this for me, just because it was so important for me to learn to listen to my heart and learn to trust my gut when for so long I had ignored it. Mm-hmm. And that sort of like started waking something up inside of me that was like, I need to hear myself and trust myself. And then writing the book that I wrote also helped with that. Like, because I'm a writer, I process a lot of things on paper, but mm-hmm. I think actually a lot of people process that way, even people who wouldn't call themselves writers. It's such a useful tool. And so I think the combination somehow of those two things like really helped me begin to recover my own heart and my own understanding of how things are for me and caring about that.
Yeah, learning how to listen to your gut, learning how to tap into that after years of ignoring it is a journey. And it's not something that comes overnight.
No, it does not, which is really, I mean, it's so interesting what we train ourselves to do when we live in traumatic circumstances. Mm-hmm. And you would think that like you get out of the circumstance and you become different, but we know that's not true from our own selves and from people we meet. It's like, it takes a lot of work to unlearn unhelpful behaviors. Yeah,
it does. Sometimes it feels easier to stay in the habit of repressing, of being disconnected. Yeah. Because
absolutely.
There's less accountability there.
Yes, and we have less Right. I mean, I think also maybe there's less like conflict because it's like we're making ourselves so small, you know, and just letting everybody else take up all the space and letting that be instead of speaking up for ourselves.
Yeah. Because in my experience, I'm not sure if your experience has been anything similar, but when I started using my voice and started kind of expanding and connecting with myself and advocating for myself, that's when people came out of the woodwork that weren't okay with me using my voice.
Wow, that's really hard. I don't know that I've so much had that experience. The only person who's doesn't appreciate me using my voice is my ex-husband. but that's not surprising to me that people, you know, it's uncomfortable when people change. And so, you know, it doesn't surprise me that you've had that experience because everybody's used to you in like a certain way. And that this means they too have to find a new way to relate with you.
And
sometimes people don't want to do that work.
It's very much a crabs in a bucket kind of experience.
I have never heard that expression. That's amazing. So,
like if you go to the beach and you put crabs in a bucket together, they will, if one tries to get out of the bucket, the rest will try and pull them back down.
That's a great analogy. I love it.
Yeah.
That's really sad. I mean,
it's really sad, but it's true.
Yeah. Yeah. How have you dealt with that? Like with that experience with people?
I've had to learn how to put boundaries in place for other people and for myself. Because Emily from 5, 6, 7 years ago, somebody would have said, no, you're wrong, blah, 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 blah. And I would have backed down.
Yep.
I would have made myself small. I would have backed down and they would be right.
Yeah.
However, now I will advocate for myself and I will say, no, you cannot speak to me in that way. If you speak to me in that way, I'm gonna love you from afar.
Yeah.
And usually they don't appreciate that. And they'll clap back and I'll say, nope, we're not having this conversation. So it has impacted some very close familial relationships.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not surprising, but that's so hard. I think you know, if there's any benefit to that kind of like those kinds of responses is it's like, at least it gives this opportunity to practice these new behaviors and like solidify them and be like, no, I am a person with boundaries. I don't, you know,
I matter.
Yeah, I matter for sure. And oddly, I mean, I think that, you know, kind of what I was saying, like, this is how dating is functioning for me in my life, where it's just like, nope, I'm not like, I'm not interested in a relationship that works that way. I'm not interested in a person who talks with me that way. Like, it's given me lots of opportunities to understand, like, is this a yes or is this a no for me? And then having to communicate the yes or the no. Yeah.
So if we have, I'm sure there's someone listening who is in that space of making themselves small to care for everybody else. What piece of advice, what tip do you have for her?
I think what I would go back and say to myself is, you know, would you treat someone, I would just ask myself, like, would you treat someone the way you are treating yourself right now? And that probably more than anything is like what helps illuminate things for me, because I'm very generous with other people, but I just ask way too much of myself and feel so, you know, like you can keep going was kind of always like the attitude I had toward myself. But I would never have told a friend to live the life that I was living, you know? And so I think if a person finds themselves feeling trapped or feeling like they've really shrunk down into almost nothing, you know, it would be helpful to ask, like, would you want to see this for your sister or your mom or your daughter, or your best friend? And if not, what can you do?
Yeah. What's a good starting place for someone? So they can ask themselves this question. Is this how you would treat someone else? Or is this how you would like to see someone else treated?
I think a good starting place is just like, I think we really underuse our imaginations in a way, you know? And so I think when people are in situations where they have made themselves small, they can't imagine anything different. And
yeah,
but I think kind of just, even though it's painful to imagine, like, or I think it could be painful in that scenario to like imagine that it could be different, I think that is a good starting place, because that can kind of then start to actually invade your thinking. And it's like, oh, things could be different. Like, there is a scenario where life could be different than it is. And I think you have to believe that first, you know?
Yeah.
I know for myself, like when I finally like made the leap and told my husband that I couldn't continue living with him, it was, I actually, like, there wasn't much that I could imagine about what my life would become. Like, I didn't really have any dreams. It was just like, I won't be yelled at every day. And that was like, I was like, I don't know what it will be, but I know that it won't be this. And that the idea that it might not, like, of just not living with so much pain was, you know, almost unimaginable. But
yeah,
as soon as it happened, I was like, oh, this is so much better. Like, I don't know where life will take me, but I could stay right here in this like land of not being yelled at for a long time, you know?
Yeah, I think, I know for me, in my experience, I had been living in my stress response for so long, and I had just accepted that this was my life. This is what it was. And
this is life, right? In a way.
It was hard to create some vision of this white picket fence life, this perfect life.
Yeah.
So I did something similar to what you did. I know that things can be different. I don't know what that's going to look like. Heck, I don't even know who I am outside of my trauma.
Yeah.
But I know that it won't be infertility. I know that it won't be living by somebody else's calendar. I know that it won't be, and I made a list of all the things it won't be.
Oh, wow. Huh.
And it's like, I don't know where it's taking me.
Yeah.
But it's not going to be that.
Yeah. I love that idea of a list of all that it won't be. That's a great idea.
So if you're listening and you don't know what you want your life to be, you just know that you don't want it to be pain and hurt and heartache and frustration and fear and shame. Start there. Start with what you don't know, what you don't want it to be.
Yeah.
And the rest will, it will come.
It does. And I don't think, like, honestly, when you're in such a place, I mean, I don't know, like, I never could have imagined, like, the satisfaction and contentment that I feel now in my life, or like the amount of peace that I have, or even just like the fullness of my life now. I couldn't have dreamed it up. And it just takes, I think another important thing though for people to know is, like, it does take time. Like, I mean, we talked a little bit before about how it's a lot of work. Like, there is a lot of work that we put into unlearning unhelpful things, but also there's just a lot of time that goes into healing and goes into things changing, and some things, like, they just can't be rushed, you know. It's just it takes time.
Yeah, it does. It has been a pleasure speaking with you today, Nina. I have thoroughly enjoyed our conversation. If listeners want to connect with you further, how can they go about doing that?
Sure. They can. I have a website. It is ninagroup.com, and they can find me there. They can schedule, like, a, you know, free 30-minute consultation in case they're interested in life coaching. They could also find me on Instagram, also Nina Group. So actually nina.g.group on Instagram, now that I think about it. Yeah, those are two best ways to find me, I'd say.
Awesome. So I will include links to Nina's website and her Instagram in the blog related to this episode, so you can find them there, and they'll be clickable so that it's easy for you. Thank you so much again, Nina. It was a pleasure speaking with you. Have a great day.
Thank you so much. I really enjoyed talking with you today.
Thank you so much for tuning in to this episode of the Mamahood After Trauma podcast. If you resonated with what you heard, please hit the subscribe button, hit the like button, and share it with a friend who would also benefit, because we rise together. Until next time, Mama, keep shining.